come to Proverbs chapter 31. I'd like to read the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes, nor for princes strong drink. Lest, which indicates a danger, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. We know that the book of Proverbs begins with instruction from a father to his son. We see the words, my son, occurring in Proverbs 1, verse 8, also Proverbs 1, verse 10, Proverbs 2, verse 1, Proverbs 3, verse 1, and then on and on you can go. We see that the father is addressing his son. Now we see the book ends with instruction from a mother to her son. And we see here that twice her directives and commandments are, or twice she says, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. We see that she, this is Lemuel, these aren't the words of Lemuel, but as far as teaching us, it is the words that his mother left him. And he recalls here what his mother has taught him. He refers to it as prophecy, which again simply means divine instruction. In other words, she instructed him in the ways of God. We see that his mother taught him there in verse 1, or trained him. And Lemuel, no doubt here, is remembering with great affection what his mother taught him, and he's realizing the value of her instruction. And again, I believe, as you we see in Proverbs 1, verse 8, and also Proverbs 6, verse 20, the father refers to the instruction or the law of the mother. And of course, the best case scenario is that father and mother are in harmony in teaching their children, and what they teach is a unit of instruction. So we see he remembers his mother's instruction. He remembers not only her instruction, but he remembers the spirit in which his mother taught him. And we see that in verse 2. He remembers her affection. Again, what my son. And he also is referred to as the son of my womb. So she taught him with great affection. We see also that he remembers her dedication and her commitment in teaching him. He's referred to as the son of my vows. So this was a woman who had great affection for her son and therefore taught him. She had great devotion and commitment to the Lord, and therefore she instructed her son. And again, this is Lemuel remembering the instruction of his mother. The first thing we want to notice is she gives him instruction to avoid the ways of destruction. And we see that in verses 3 through verse 5. And again, she's warning him of certain things that are going to ruin his life, certain things that are going to bring destruction into his life. In verse 3, she says, give not, that is, do not hand over, do not give up, do not relinquish or devote thy strength, that is, the vigor and energy of your mind and body. Do not relinquish, do not give up, do not devote the vigor and energy of your mind and body, he says, unto women. Now this is a warning. This is a mother warning her son. The teaching here, of course, is a warning and admonition to shun all adultery, to shun all fornication, to shun all sexual uncleanness, but it goes further than that, and to shun everything and anything that would lead to such behavior, anything and everything that would encourage such behavior, anything and everything which would tempt or incite such behavior. She says, give not thy strength unto women. This warning that King Lemuel received from his mother, of course, coincides with the warnings given by the father to his son. We see several times in the book of Proverbs. We've already covered that in Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 7. We see the father giving basically the same instruction to his son. So she says, give not thy strength unto women. And then notice she adds, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Give not thy strength, nor thy ways, and thy ways speaks of the course of life. Do not give your ways, do not direct your ways to that which destroys kings. And of course, the world is filled with that which is destructive. The world is filled with that which is going to cause injury. The world is filled with that which is going to bring great harm. And the world is filled with things that just are going to result in ruin. So she very affectionately and committed unto God says, do not give thy ways to the things which destroy kings, to the things which bring destruction into lives, to the things that bring havoc into lives, to the things that bring great loss and misery into lives. She's saying, stay away from that course of living. Now, King Lemuel's mother, realizing the destruction of sin, is warning her son concerning sin. She's basically saying, do not pattern your life after sin. Do not direct the course of your life toward that which will lead to sin, toward that which will result in the destruction of your life. Do not go in that direction. She is telling him, shun evil. Stay away from that which is destructive. Stay away from that which will cause ruin. Do not play. Do not play with that which is destructive. Do not play with that which has ruined others. Because you will not be the exception. And this is what many, of course, believe. They have to believe that because no one wants to destroy their life. No one wants to ruin their life. So they have to believe that they're going to be the exception. But you're not going to be the exception. And she's warning him here to avoid evil. Now in that warning, to avoid evil, is also the instruction to cleave to that which is good. We see this all through the Scriptures. When God tells us to avoid evil, He also teaches us to do good. Stop doing wrong and do good. It's not just stop doing wrong. It's not just avoid evil. It's also do good. Stop doing wrong and do right. Notice in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 14. We see this principle. Psalm 34 verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil. But it doesn't stop there. And do good. You see, it's not enough to just stop doing wrong. You also have to do what's right. In the book of Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and the ninth verse, Romans 12 verse 9. But let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. And then notice, cleave to that which is good. You have the same teaching also in 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. So she warns her son to abstain. Again, you read verse 3. Read it over and over and over again. And it is a warning to abstain from that which is destructive. And verse 3 sets the context of what we read in verse 4 and verse 5. The context is abstain from that which is destructive. That's the context. Now verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now, the subject here in verses 4 and verse 5 is wine and strong drink. Again, it's in the context of her instruction, which is abstain from that which is destructive. The teaching here is abstinence from that which brings destruction and ruin. Twice she says concerning wine and strong drink, twice she says to her son, it is not for kings. That is, it is not suitable for kings to drink alcohol. It is not acceptable for kings to drink alcohol. In other words, it's unsuitable. It's unacceptable. And then she adds, nor for princes or for rulers, those in authority. Now, if it is not for kings to drink wine and strong drink, how much more this is true concerning the child of God? The Word of God does address the subject of abstinence. And I believe it's taught in these two verses because, again, I believe the context is set there in verse 3 and the teaching is abstaining from that which is destructive. And while we're talking about alcohol, we include in that all other mind-altering drugs. It's all included. All included. And there is to be abstinence. Now, God commanded in the Old Testament that the Old Testament priests not drink alcohol so that they would be able to distinguish between holy and unholy. Notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10. Book of Leviticus, chapter 10. verses 9 through verse 11. Do not, again he's speaking unto Aaron, do not drink wine nor strong drink. Thou, that is you personally, do not drink wine nor strong drink, talking to the Old Testament priest, nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. In other words, this is very serious. Lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And here's why it's given. That you may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. In other words, alcohol would alter their ability to put a difference between right and wrong, between God's ways and man's ways, would alter their judgment. And it's a dangerous thing to alter your mind with anything. It's a dangerous thing to alter your judgment, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So, very plainly stated that the Old Testament priest was not to drink wine nor strong drink. But the principle stated there is this. The reason they were not to drink strong drink is because it would alter their ability, it would weaken their ability to judge righteously, to righteously discern. And God's people need to always be able to discern. We must not do that which decreases our ability to make proper discernment. The Nazarites, of course, were not to drink wine or liquor. Notice in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6, verse 3. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes or eat moist grapes or dried. That's abstinence. He is to separate himself from strong drink. That was the vow of a Nazarite. And Samson, of course, was a Nazarite for life. And his mother was told not to drink wine or strong drink. Notice in the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, in verse 4. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. That's repeated again in verse 7 and repeated again in verse 14. The Rechabites drank no wine. And when the temptation was put before them to drink wine there in the book of Jeremiah chapter 35, they refused to do so. John the Baptist, the greatness of John the Baptist is linked to his abstinence. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Book of Luke, chapter 1, and verse 15. Speaking of John the Baptist, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul gives instruction to Timothy, drink no longer water, that is, no longer only water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. That, of course, was medicinal. And the implication is, and this is what many miss, the implication is that Timothy practiced abstinence. Because if he did not practice abstinence, Paul would not have told him, would not have had to tell him to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. So it's obvious that Timothy practiced abstinence. The use of wine for medicinal purpose, again, is stated there in Proverbs 31, verses 6 and verse 7. That's, again, referring to medicinal purposes. But what King Lemuel's mother is instructing him is abstain from that which is destructive. It's destructive. Alcohol is destructive. There are drugs that are destructive. And the child of God is to practice abstinence for many, 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 many reasons. Notice in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31 says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." What he's saying there is avoid the allurement of wine. Avoid the temptation. He says, don't even look at it. Avoid the allurement, avoid the temptation, avoid the enticement. Because it is destructive. Do not put yourself in that place of temptation. Now notice, if you keep a mark there in Proverbs 23, and then Proverbs 31, verse 5, again, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest, this speaks of with the intention of preventing. Do not drink wine nor strong drink with the intention of preventing something. To avoid the risk of. To avoid the risk of, again, lest they drink and forget. And forget the law. It's important for kings to remember the law. It's also important for God's people to remember the law, lest they forget and pervert judgment. There it is again. The mind is altered. King had the responsibility to judge righteously in the behalf of the afflicted. So his mother warns him, do not drink, because if you do, you are running the risk of judging unrighteously. You're running the risk of having your mind altered. So the instruction that King Lemuel's mother is giving him, the warning that she is giving him, is based upon this fact. Alcohol is dangerous. And that's what this instruction is based upon. It is dangerous. It can destroy your life. And the Word of God certainly gives some red flags concerning that which is intoxicating. The Word of God does not minimize the pitfalls of that which is intoxicating. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. It is stated as a matter of fact. Wine is a mocker. What that means is that wine deceives and can very easily overcome an individual before he or she is aware that they have been overcome. Before he or she is aware that their mind, their judgment, has been altered. Before he or she can realize that they are in danger. Wine is a mocker. Wine is a deceiver. It promises pleasure that it cannot give. And alcohol and drugs today promises pleasures that it cannot possibly deliver. And many, many people, of course, are deceived thereby. Not only that, it exposes one to shame and disgrace. It goes on to say in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging or causes disturbance of mind. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we are to keep our minds clear. It's a huge part in living the Christian life that we keep our minds clear. Now, if we go back to Proverbs 23, in verse 29, there is a list of six possible consequences or dangers of wine or of the use of wine. Six things are mentioned in verse 29. Who hath woe? That's the first one. Woe. Woe simply means grief and despair. It can cause grief and despair. The next thing mentioned is sorrow. It can cause pain and uneasiness. Who hath contentions? Contentions is the third thing that is mentioned. Brawlings. The next thing that's mentioned is babbling. Excess and senseless talk. It's never good for someone to talk who does not make sense. That again is evidence that the mind has been altered. The next thing that's mentioned is wounds or injuries. And then the sixth thing that mentioned is redness of eyes, which is basically speaks of overall dullness. Who has these things? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. And then in verse 32, another danger is presented at the last, not at the beginning, but at the last. It biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. In other words, it is concealed and it's fatal. Therefore, it's wise for the child of God to abstain from that which is destructive. We see basically the same truth as taught in Proverbs 32 or Deuteronomy 32 in verse 33. So we have six possible things in verse 29. Verse 32, we see that it is concealed and it is fatal. In verse 33, it brings forth another danger, and that is it can lead to adulterous thoughts, sexual improprieties, loud, senseless talking. Verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. What that means is the drinking of alcohol lowers a person's inhibition, and that's always dangerous. If you know anything at all about your flesh, it's always dangerous to lower your inhibitions. Always. And this is taught also in the book of Habakkuk. Notice, keep a mark there in Proverbs 23 in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. That. This shows that it lowers one's inhibitions, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. In other words, they're glad to reveal. You get somebody that's drunk, they don't think anything of revealing their nakedness. That also is very, well, it's sinful, and it's also very dangerous. Verse 34 of Proverbs 23, if we go back there. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. In other words, it causes one to lose their sense of direction. That's dangerous. For a child of God to play with that which will cause you to lose your sense of direction is very dangerous. Now, I do not understand why people, especially a child of God, would want to be out of control, would want to lose control of their thought processes, lose control of their sense of direction, not knowing where they are, who they are. I don't understand why someone would purposely do that to themselves on a continuous basis. Now, I understand you go into surgery and you're going to be given drugs that are going to alter your mind. That's totally different. That's not even the same thing. We're not even going to discuss that. The use of alcohol also perverts one's judgment. We've already seen that, but notice verse 35 of Proverbs 23. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. It desensitizes. Here's an individual that has wasted a day, and then after that day's wasted, they say, I will seek it yet again. They have been completely desensitized. Now, alcohol, of course, goes directly to the brain, which is the communication center of the body. It interferes with good judgment. It interferes with good sense. And in Isaiah chapter 28, if we turn there, Isaiah 28, verses 7 and 8, but they also have erred, notice, through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. They have erred. By using wine and strong drink, it has brought them out of the way. It has brought them out of God's way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. That is, they are consumed by it. They are controlled by it. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Why do you want to do that on purpose? Why would anyone want to do that on purpose? To alter your mind where you do not think right. It's sin. There's no way of getting around it. And then to try to defend it is even more foolish. I mean, if you try to defend it, you're already proving your mind has already been altered. You don't think right. And then notice verse 8, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. And so King Lemuel's mother is warning him of the dangers of things that bring destruction and things that bring ruin to their lives. And I believe any good parent would warn their children of the use of that which is going to bring destruction or could bring destruction and ruin to their lives. It is a form of child abuse to encourage your child to do that which is destructive, to do that which may bring ruin into their lives. And if we go back to Proverbs chapter 31, she then gives, after giving some instruction concerning abstaining from that which is destructive, she gives some instruction concerning the proper treatment of others. She instructs him to do good with his wealth in verse 6 and verse 7. It's obvious that he had access to wine, he had access to strong drink as a king, but he himself was not to drink it, but he was to use it for medicinal purposes, and she states that in verse 6 and verse 7. And may I say that is no longer necessary today. People will say, well, I'm doing it for medicinal purposes. Let me tell you something. There's plenty of medicine that'll do just that. You don't have to go that route today. That's just an excuse. That's all it is. And then she instructs him to do good with his power. In verses 8 and 9, he, of course, had authority, he had power. And she says, open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So do good with what you have. And she says, do good with the power that you have. That is, do good to others. And then beginning with verse 10, which we'll look at next week, she begins to instruct him after she's warned him concerning women in verse 3. She begins to instruct him concerning a virtuous woman beginning with verse 10. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Larry will lead us in song.